just fits so well with the thought as to what we're going to preach tonight. Take your Bibles to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, and when you find your place, if you're able to stand with me here tonight, we're going to look tonight at prayer that makes a difference. And we've been preaching through this section of Scripture, and God just continues to use this in my own heart, in my own life. And I think one of the great needs we have today in our churches and in our homes are prayer warriors. We need those that know how to get a hold of the throne of God and make a difference. And James chapter 5, verse 13, we'll begin there. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. And here's the thought we took last week. We're continuing this thought. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruits. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Again, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Such a need today for those that can have effectual prayer, a prayer that availeth much. If you'll go with me to the Lord in prayer, and let's ask his help. Lord, we certainly need tonight this thought and this message. And Lord, it's evident that you are looking for somebody that can stand in the gap. You're looking for somebody that can take a hold of the needs here upon earth and can reach up to you and bring those needs before you and before your throne. And Lord, I believe that that kind of prayer can make a difference. Lord, would you help us tonight? I pray here at Valley Bible Baptist that you would truly raise up prayer warriors, men and women that have the heart and the mind and the effect of Elijah that we read about in the Old Testament. Again, meet with us. Have your way tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated tonight. And we've taken this thought over several weeks now that prayer can make a difference. I have found that really prayer is war. And it takes some effort to spend the kind of prayer that is needed to make a difference. It's work. It's not something that is easily done. And you're going to find that anything that we do for God is going to cost us something. And I believe in prayer that avails much, it's going to cost something. You know, God has often worked in answer to prayer. You can find this throughout the Word of God. You find this in history. Prayer can change the course of nature. We read of Elijah that he prayed that it would not rain. And it did not rain for the space of 3.5 years. And then Elijah prayed that it would rain, and there came a downpour of rain in answer to his prayer. You can read about this in 1 Kings chapter 17 and 1 Kings chapter 18. Prayer changed the course of nature. Prayer can change the course of nations. The real issue behind Elijah's prayer was Israel's departure from God. It was Elijah that in the midst of those chapters that speak of his prayer life that we read about right here in the book of James, it was Elijah that called his nation to repentance. And Elijah said to that nation, "How long halt you between two opinions? If Baal be God, serve him. If God be God, then serve him." And he's pointing out that no man can serve two masters. You've got to choose who you're going to serve. And he called his nation to repentance. I think the lesson here is though the Bible is speaking of spirit or of physical drought and of physical rain, I think the application is that the nation of Israel was in a state of spiritual drought. And they needed spiritual revival. They needed the touch of God. And I believe desperately that's the need of our churches and homes today. Prayer can change the course of nations. Prayer has changed the course of individuals. Interesting, in our context, in verse number 13, the Bible says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." And how often God has helped individuals through times of affliction answer to prayer. You have but to read the Psalms to discover this in the life of King David. So many of the Psalms were born in times of affliction, and you'll read the powerful prayer life of King David. Verse 14, he speaks of prayer for the sick. "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church." And God has often healed both physical sickness and spiritual sickness in answer to prayer. I was reading, just interestingly, today, here tonight before coming here into church, reading a prayer letter from a missionary, and this missionary spoke of a miraculous answer to prayer, and spoke of a young lady that was having a blood transfusion. The wrong kind of blood had been given, and it looked to be a pretty hopeless situation. And they began to pray, and God intervened and raised that young lady up, and she is alive and living and well today. And that was an answer to prayer. It was just a miracle, and doctors could not explain it. But of course, we understand that. We serve a God that prayer can make a big difference. Now, the prayer that makes a difference, however, must be the right kind of prayer. And that's so important. Everybody talks about praying. I've heard lost people, carnal Christians, talk about praying. In the passage that speaks of Elijah, we read about the prophets of Baal. And the prophets of Baal prayed. They looked to God, their God, not the God of the Bible, but their God, to consume the sacrifice. And of course, Baal's a dead god. He was not able to do so. And so their prayers were empty, vain prayers. They cut themselves. They cried aloud. They went to great lengths. Their prayers were not answered. You know, most prayer, and I make a statement here, most prayer goes unanswered. Okay, did you get that? Let that sink in. Most prayer goes unanswered. You see why? It's not this kind of prayer that is spoken of here in the Bible. It's prayer that has not been prayed from a right relationship with God, or is not prayed for the will of God or for the glory of God. It's not a prayer prayed from that right relationship. It's just a religious ritual that goes nowhere, that does not rise above the ceiling, that can do nothing. It's empty, vain words and doesn't honor the Lord God. Prayer that makes a difference. That's what we want to talk about tonight. And really often, if you look through the Psalms, David, he cried out to the Lord, "Hear me when I cry unto thee, Lord." And David did not want to pray just empty, vain prayer. David was often in circumstances. He knew that if God did not intervene, it was a hopeless situation. And so David wanted to pray the kind of prayer that makes a difference. And aren't you glad that there was a man named Elijah that God would raise up for such a time as that point in history with the nation of Israel? And he was a man that made a difference in his prayer life. So what is the prayer that makes a difference and that's so important? And just again, we'll follow up on some thoughts of last week, but very important. Prayer that makes a difference, effectual prayer, must begin with the right relationship and a right walk with God. Notice in verse 16, and again, there's one little word here that is a key word. The latter part of the verse says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a," what's that next word? Okay, "the effectual, fervent prayer of a," what? Okay. "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And then Elijah is given for us as an example, verse 17. He says, "Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." So Elijah is given as an ordinary man, a man of like passions as we are, and yet when he prayed, his prayer made a difference. And the Lord's giving him as an example of a righteous man. Now, we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, that this righteousness is the imputed righteousness of Christ, first of all. This is what Rachel sang about just a moment ago. That righteousness that is taken from the account of Christ, and it is placed to our account. Now, powerful prayer has to start with salvation. I'd like you to keep your place in James 5, but I would like you to go back to Romans chapter 4. And Romans chapter 4 is a passage of Scripture that declares exactly the message that Rachel sang about. In Romans chapter 4, verse number 1, reads, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Now, what this simply means is that when we come to Christ in faith, his righteousness is put to our account, our sin is placed to his account. The Bible calls this the imputed righteousness of the Lord. We are justified through his blood. You see, it's only then that we can have an open throne to heaven. It's when we have a salvation relationship to Christ. Make another statement here that might blow your mind here, but it's a true statement, I believe, biblically. God is not obligated to hear the prayer of a lost person. Did you know that? See, a man, woman, boy, and girl must be in a right relationship with God. And that's why I say most prayer today goes unanswered. Does God sometimes hear the prayer of a lost person? Yes, he can and he has, but he's not obligated to hear that prayer of a lost person. The first prayer that a lost person ought to seek is to come, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, I hear a lot of times lost people talk about praying, and I believe man is created with a God consciousness. Man is religious by nature, and by nature, man needs to pray. He needs to communicate with our Creator, but the problem is his sin has blocked the path to God, and your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sin has hid his face from you that he will not hear. And the Bible says that before God will hear our prayer, that sin has to be dealt with. And the only way to deal with that sin, the only way to righteousness, is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's in that right standing with God through his salvation that we can begin to pray. And so the first prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner, it's only the new birth that can make us a child of God. And it's only as we are a child of God that we are invited to boldly come to the throne of God and into his presence. Now that's the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But I believe that this extends to personal righteousness. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It goes beyond salvation to a right relationship in that salvation with God. Psalm 66 verse 18 states, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." And I believe if there is known or unconfessed sin in the heart, if I'm not willing to deal with sin, I close the windows of heaven before God. If I'm indifferent or flippant towards sin, I cannot expect to have my prayers answered. If I excuse my sin or tuck my sin into a corner, the Bible speaks that he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall find mercy. And so it's in the confession, it's in the forsaking, it's in the repentance of sin that we find that right relationship with God. There's a tremendous need today were prayer warriors, men like Elijah. He was subject to like passions as we are. He was not sinless. Read through the life of Elijah. He had doubts and fears and discouragement, and he faced battles just as you do. But he was forgiven. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. With temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. See, until we're willing to deal with our secret lives and who we are in secret, who we are with our friends, who we are on social media, with our thought lives, we cannot expect answers to prayer. And just being honest, this is why our nation is crumbling. This is why homes and churches are being devastated. This is why many are leaving good churches and they're being heartened to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and to the things of God. So the spiritual windows of heaven are closed. And we need to have some men and women and boys and girls that will get right with God and be an Elijah and pray for a spiritual downpouring, pray for the spiritual revival that only God can bring. Effectual prayer, availing prayer, starts with a right relationship with God. And then as we look at the book of James, chapter 5, effectual prayer, as we look at the life of Elijah, involves a discernment of the need. Elijah discerned the need of his nation. Ahab was the king of Israel. Ahab, you know the story, was a wicked king. Now, Jezebel, his wife, was even worse. And this was an ungodly pair that led the nation of Israel. And the problem was not just with the leadership. The people were living a lie. On one hand, they claimed to serve Jehovah. On the other hand, they worshiped Baal. So there was kind of this dichotomy. They couldn't make up their minds who to serve. And Elijah boldly confronted the situation. He had a discernment of the need. If we're going to have a spiritual downpouring, we're going to have to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts. And so Elijah was led of God, and he prayed the windows of heaven to be closed. And it's very clear that sometimes people do not see the need until the situation is desperate. And interestingly, when the situation was desperate, after 3.5 years, Ahab goes looking for water. Now, it's not so much physical water that Israel's needing. It's a spiritual downpouring that the nation is needing. But he was desperate and he went looking. And so often men and women and boys and girls will not seek the face of God until their situation is desperate, until they realize that the hope is hopeless unless God intervenes. So if we are to pray effectively, we must be discerning of the need. Elijah led the people to gather around Mount Carmel. And you know the story. He brought before the people the prophets of Baal. He gathered them together on the mountain. He pled with them. The verse I quoted a moment ago. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. No man can serve two masters. And he called his nation to repentance. And then he put his prayer to action. Now, if we're to pray effectively, we need to be discerning of the need. I read through the story in 1 Kings 17, 1 Kings chapter 18. It's a perfect picture of our nation right now. We're definitely living in a time of spiritual darkness, just as Elijah. And that darkness is even within Christian circles. It's a divided heart. On one hand, an outward service to God. You know, let me just be blunt. It sickens God when we have an outward service to him, but on the private, we're serving our own God. We're serving Baal. And that's what's happening. It's a secret service to Baal. It's secret lives. It's secret habits. It's a worldliness and a sin and deception. And, you know, I'm so sad in the internet and social media has opened avenues that this generation of Christians is having to deal with in a way that previous generations never dealt with. You know, as young people and adults alike, living a life that breaks the heart of God. I got a call just today, a pastor, he's reaching out, just seeking some help and guidance, and an individual who's very active in the church, but behind the scenes involved in practices that are very contrary to God. And it's the same situation that we're reading about here in the prophets of Baal and in the nation of Israel. It was not long ago another church leader reached out about a situation he was dealing with, and just privately, people that were active, but they were involved in vulgar communication through internet and vulgar and just things that Christians can't even be repetitive or repeating. And you just wonder, how come God's not working? Why? It's no wonder the windows of heaven are closed. God is a jealous God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. See, God will share his throne with no one. Elijah was discerning of the need. And effectual prayer discerns that need. I was thinking of the widow woman of Edinburgh, Scotland, many, many years ago. And you guys got to go there just recently. What a blessing. Widow woman, Edinburgh Baptist Temple. And she became burdened about the worldliness of the young people within the church. And there was no spiritual hunger. There was no spiritual thirst for God. It was like the preaching would go forth, but there was no hunger. There was no seeking for God. There was no heart for the things of God. There was no desire for the Bible and no desire for prayer. And she began to notice this and began to notice that nobody was being saved and nobody coming to the altar, and there were no changes in life. And she was burdened and began to pray and cried out to the Lord, discerning of that need. And as she poured her heart out before God and discerning that need, God just amazingly performed a major revival in Edinburgh. In fact, Scotland has touched the world as a result of that revival that took place. And literally, preachers were scattered all over the world. It goes back to a widow woman who was discerning of the need, like Elijah with his nation. And so if we're to pray effectual prayer, it must be discerning of that need. Now notice in verse 16, the latter part, effectual prayer is a fervent prayer of brokenness. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's again Elijah given as the example. Elijah walked with God. Elijah discerned the need. But if you were to go back to 1 Kings 17 and 18, Elijah prayed fervently. Those chapters tell the story of his prayer. We looked at that here a couple of weeks ago. It's very clear Elijah was broken and burdened for his nation. He poured his heart out to God. I'm guessing that if you read the story, it seems evident that Elijah did a lot of fasting in that praying. See, Elijah knew not only were the windows of heaven closed physically, they desperately needed rain. Now, God led him to pray, and Israel needed a desperate situation. He knew that they were physically closed, but Elijah was much more aware of a spiritual drought in his nation. His nation needed desperately to come back unto the Lord. And it broke the heart of Elijah, and he prayed fervently. And you read the prayer life of Elijah. He prayed with passion. He prayed with a broken heart and a burden. He prayed with persistence. And you read the account where Elijah sent his servant to go and look as he prayed the first time. And there was no cloud in the sky. And Elijah continued to pour his heart out, placed his head between his knees. And he poured his heart out to God. And he prayed and sent the servant back again. And he prayed and sent the servant back again. And seven times he sent the servant back. And on the seventh time, there was a small little cloud. Elijah says, you need to prepare your chariots. It's coming a downpour. And before they could get away from the mount, the skies blackened and the rain began to pour. It was a fervent prayer of a righteous man. I believe that's what God's searching for. He's searching for people that he can place his heart, his burden upon them. People that will be broken and burdened and fervently pray. Prayer warriors. Only then can chains of darkness be removed. I think of Ezekiel chapter 22 and verses 30 and 31. God said to Ezekiel, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But God said, but I found none. And he says, therefore, if I poured out mine indignation upon them, and I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, their own way have I recompensed upon their hands, saith the Lord God. Now God said, I was looking for somebody to make up the hedge, somebody to stand in the gap, somebody that could make a difference, somebody that could get a hold of man and a hold of the throne of God. He said, I was looking for somebody that I would not destroy the land. But God said, I found none. I couldn't find anyone. And therefore, God said, my wrath was poured upon the land. Well, I believe God is still searching. In Acts chapter 27, Paul was aboard a ship in a stormy sea. And it stated all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. It looked hopeless. It was dark. It was bleak. Paul went below deck and he no doubt fasted and fervently prayed, wept for the people aboard that boat. And while Paul was praying below deck, God spoke to the heart of Paul. God said, Paul, I've given you all of these aboard the ship. I thank the Lord that there was a man to stand the gap for that ship, and every soul, every person was saved alive as that ship crashed into the rocks. And the ship was destroyed, but every person's life was spared. It was a prayer warrior that made a difference. I was thinking of a grandmother, read this testimony, a grandmother that was burdened for her wayward grandson. He was rebellious and indifferent to the things of God. In fact, it just seemed he was hardened to God, hardened to the things of God. And she fasted, and she prayed, and she wept, and she got a hold of the throne of God. God began to soften the heart of that grandchild. God began to stir in his heart. God worked a miracle in his life, and the deep need of his heart was he was lost and needed a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he came to know the Lord as his Savior, and it made all the difference in his life. I was thinking of a man, read his testimony. He was a man that had given his life to being an effectual, fervent man of prayer. His church experienced almost continuous revival. He was just a layman in the church, but he was a prayer warrior. And his church knew constantly souls being saved and hearts that were softened, miraculous conversion and miraculous great deliverances from bondages that it just seemed impossible. The world couldn't solve, but God was able to solve the situation. And I think it could much be attributed to a man who was an effectual, fervent, praying, righteous man. That's the effectual, fervent prayer that avails much. It makes a difference. I mentioned that most prayer goes unanswered. Why? It's not prayer from a right standing with God. Right prayer, prevailing prayer, has to be prayer that starts with a right relationship with God, that it's prayer that comes below or before the throne of God and boldly to that throne, not because of our own righteousness. Rachel sang about that. There's none of us worthy to have our prayers answered, none of us worthy to come before that throne. In ourselves, we're weak. And Paul said, I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. We understand that. We understand the frailty, just like Elijah. He was a man of like passions as we are. And we understand that. Our right relationship with God is not because of us, but it's because of Jesus and the price that he paid. And we come to him in salvation, but we come to him with tender hearts. And can I share with you, don't ever grow cold and indifferent in heart. Always maintain a softened, tender heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and a heart that is sensitive to sin, and a heart that is willing to be confessing of that sin. No secrets between my soul and the Savior. Nothing between, as the song says, my soul and the Savior. That's the kind of prayer that will prevail. starts with a right relationship with God. It's a prayer that has a great discernment of the need. You see, it looks around just as Elijah did, and it realizes it's spiritually dark. There's a spiritual drought, and we need spiritual revival. We need a spiritual downpouring of God and His Spirit. And it's a fervent, broken prayer before God. That's the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. That's the kind of prayer that makes a difference. I just close with this thought. God said, I sought for a man. Could be a woman. Could be a boy. Could be a girl. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. It could be that there's a life that needs an effectual, fervent prayer warrior, lest they be destroyed. Like that grandmother praying for her grandson. It could be a family, a wife praying for her home. It could be a mother, a father praying for her children. It could be a layman, a woman praying for their church, praying for their preacher. It could be a prayer warrior praying for our missionaries. But they have an effectual, fervent prayer that avails much, and it makes a spiritual difference in a lost and dying world. I want to give us that thought tonight, and if we would, go to the Lord and our prayer.